Well, hello, everybody. Welcome. It's me, Professor P. Namaste, as I bow to you. April 17th. I decided to do another episode before Saturday. Saturday will be with Chris B. It'll be an interview. So today, we're going to look at, well, sex, risky behaviors, and the social constructs that condition our perception on these risky behaviors. So, when it comes to risky behaviors, using alcohol and drugs or becoming sexually active, young adolescents are not equipped to understand the implications behind such choices. I think about when I was an adolescent, and if you've listened to this podcast and heard, I was clueless, and I was a mess. I never want to go back to my adolescence. Options have consequences, but those consequences are not always experienced instantly. Teenagers have had enough experience to know that they just because you do not wear your seatbelt does not mean you will get into an accident. The late and great Clancy Immelsland used to tell a funny story, and here it goes. He talked about back in the 1940s and the 1950s, and a teenager would go into a local convenience store and say, "Hey, let me get some cigarettes and some condoms." Now, if you go into that same convenience store today, you watch a teenager come in, it'll probably look like this. "Hey, let me get some condoms and some cigarettes." Most of the time, you get to your destination and back unharmed. In the area of adolescent substance experimentation and sexual behavior prevention, Kirby, 2008, and Chin et al., 2012, along with the Community Preventive Service Task Force, consistently see professionals applying population-level adolescent target interventions as abstinence-only versus harm reduction. You can find that on page 17. The focus message for teenagers to practice sexual abstinence has only evolved into a hybrid intervention, mixing aspects of comprehensive harm reduction. And that's Kirby. Marley et al., 1998 and 2011, describe harm reduction as limiting or decreasing problematic effects of behaviors, usually associated with substance abuse, but not limited to risky behaviors like unprotected sex, and even overeating. Kirby again had research that American teenagers with STDs and pregnancy rates are high, leading to complex negative experiences among teens, their families, and the newborns, as well as costing the government taxpayers more money. Funding is primarily spent on what? Well, promoting sexual abstinence. Kirby again investigated and compared research literature dating back to 1900 on harm reduction comprehension versus sexual abstinence, school curriculum, and group-based interventions. The research studies could only be used from 10 scholarly databases, with specific requirements of at least 100 American middle and high schoolers in the group, measurable variables focusing on the impacts of safe or risky sexual behavior, contraceptives, condoms, multiple partners, and outcomes associated with sexual behavior, frequency, pregnancy rates, and of course, STD rates. Overall, results from Kirby's 2008 meta-analysis comparison conclude that abstinence programs are not more effective at delaying initiation of sex than comprehensive sex education programs, nor will abstinence programs effectively eliminate teens' sexual risk. So regarding delaying initiation and increasing safe sex practices, the harm reduction comprehension program provided more substantial evidence than complete abstinence, which may, what, only delay initiation? Still, a third of the 48 harm reduction studies were no more effective than the complete abstinent programs. If abstinence is off the table, attempting to plant seeds about the risks and tools to counteract those risks makes the most sense. For example, take Russian roulette, meaning a revolver gun has one bullet randomly sitting in one of the chambers. Harm reduction comprehension interventions tell you ahead of time that if you choose to hold that gun to your head and pull the trigger, you have a probability of blowing your brains out. Suppose you continue to have unprotected sex with multiple partners. The measurable outcomes are spreading STDs, teenage pregnancy, and even HIV. That makes the decision for adolescents that much riskier, especially when the choice has not reaped negative consequences, in which case the chances of continued sexual activity increase along with the probability of adverse health consequences. The results are plural when it comes to being sexually active because there is more than one person involved. In fact, there's more than one family involved. Jiloha in 2017 reviewed the effectiveness of adolescent interventions around tobacco, let me get some cigarettes, alcohol, and illicit drugs. Adolescents in India have been using drugs earlier and earlier. The younger the child begins using drugs, the likelihood of lifelong adverse outcomes associated with mental illness, incarceration, and the ability to have healthy relationships. Again, adolescents in India have been using drugs earlier and earlier. The younger the child begins using drugs, the higher likelihood of lifelong adverse outcomes associated with mental illness, incarceration, and the ability to have healthy relationships. Now, we know this. I have my hand raised, you know, as I'm reading this. Compared to harm reduction comprehension at the adolescent target population level, abstinence-only campaigns start in the social institutions of a country's infrastructure. For example, back to Jiloha, 2017, contends that abstinent interventions in the media eliminate commercials and advertisements promoting legal substances and replace them with information about the negative health implications associated with drugs and alcohol. In America, I notice we'll have a commercial, and usually it's, you know, a couple, and I don't know, they're in this bathtub together, and they're watching the sun come up, and maybe there's a golden retriever, woof, woof, running in the distance, and then it starts bringing up the medication or whatever. But, and I don't know why I went to like Cialis or some ED medication, I guess because we're talking about sex, but you always hear, you know, it's like in the little fine print. Does call doo-doo-doot and also calls his boo-doo-choot. And don't forget, if you have heart pressure, doo-doo-doot-doot-doot. And we see this too with, you know, we'll promote harm reduction with condom commercials, but we're still promoting the brand. We're still branding. Same with the lube. We have lube commercials too. Get the lube. From a longitudinal perspective, this could curb adolescents' desire and anticipation to participate in substance-using culture. You know, ooh, don't drink this lube. If you put this lube on your French fries. Change legalization laws limit substance obtainability and implement implementational charges to discourage reckless use. Increasing punitive measures shows no evidence that decreasing drug use is a factor in minimizing the influence on the adolescent family and community. And I think we are seeing this out west, where we even decrease punitive measures and we still have a problem. I think cutting off access completely, let's get rid of them. Other influences contributing to the effect of substance use effect on adolescents are fewer media promoting alcohol and tobacco use, more positive media health campaigns, increasing taxes, and prohibition measures like availability and sale restrictions. Jiloha's proposal for abstinent-only prevention would be a tough pill for legislators, especially when our adolescents are the next-to-market commodity for big business, alcohol, and tobacco vaping corporations. He does concede that comprehensive studies on harm reduction in the school setting are the most powerful message to adolescents, along with family-based prevention. Implementing harm reduction comprehensive interventions would be most practical by encouraging abstinence, but giving educational tools for positive sexual behavior outcomes. Practicing safe sex, contraceptives, and STD testing before initiation. It is similar. That kind of be funny, like if you go on a blind date and each participant brings their STD test. Here you go. Maybe that's the vulnerability we need. Maybe. It is similar to cognitive behavior therapy, where the professional is non-judgmental, motivational, and educational to promote positive change for the individual. That's Miller and Rolnick, 2012. When it comes to the adult, addict, alcohol, drugs, and or sex who is in recovery, one thought-provoking question garners the same unified chorus. No! The question, did scared straight work for you? What I found most interesting in researching is that one united theme emerges around adolescent, risky substance use, and sexual behavior. You ready? The earlier the exposure, the less likely abstinence and harm reduction interventions will be. Wasting money for some of us. Environmental root causes, the amount of exposure and family values, attitude, ideals, and perceptions directly correlate with adolescents choosing risky behaviors. And that's from SAMHSA. The research of Kirby and Jaloha had me reflecting on my early childhood and adolescent experiences. Everything I thought I knew about sexual behavior, intimacy, love, and what it meant to use psychoactive substances, psychotropic medications, and illicit drugs came from misinformed beliefs by my laissez-faire parenting. I never want to blame my childhood and how my parents raised me for why I chose specific behaviors. My mother especially did the best she could. I mean, I had my first Zima at 5. She was buying me full packs of cigarettes once I was in 5th grade. I don't believe she intended to be sexually abusive. I was aware of all my mother's sexual relationships as an adolescent up through high school, which was, it's uncomfortable today. She would have loud, obnoxious sex with an older married man, principles that I would never hope to practice in my life today. My sexuality was always a topic or a big deal. First, because of peer pressure, the media, hey, let me get some condoms and some cigarettes. And then, of course, my family pressured me. I talked to my godfather the other day. He told me that my mother, him, and others in my life when I was a young child believed I was gay. I mean, I guess parents do that, right? I know I have even heard myself say, you know, to my son regarding him, what a manly man. Man, he's so manly. He's from Manville. But who cares, right, if my son's from Manville? And who cares if my mother and godfather and others in my life as a young child believed I was gay? Or is this ingrained social ideal of sexuality that becomes an American neurosis because we all believe our case is a little bit different or even abnormal, when maybe what is abnormal is the social perspective about sexuality and sex? Even as a very young child, at the age of 5, I was set down in front of a pornographic movie and watched 3 scenes, all of which I remember vividly. Needless to say, I have been masturbating since 5. My understanding of sexual abstinence was extremely distorted compared to my peers, but my belief sides with Kirby that abstinent interventions may delay early sexual activity, but so can positive open family communication with a solid spiritual and even religious background. Kirby also believed that 5 of the 9 sexual abstinence studies were geared towards safe sex practices, contraceptives, and condom use, which is harm reduction, like a religious background. Finding adolescents with more exposure to sex and drugs during harm reduction and abstinent interventions could allow for individual-based program implementation during the Universal Prevention Initiative. So we'd be selecting individuals and giving them indicated treatment. Let's look at the social institutions and the role forming social behaviors. And sex is a part of this, using drugs, all this, but how we act. The hierarchy in social institutions, the socialization of the human as branded commodity, and the aspects of social connectedness across the entire human lifespan have been altered. For the longest time, there were the synonymous big three: governments, law and freedom, economy, wealth and status, and religion, family and community. As societies evolve, social subsystems branch from the big three: healthcare, education, and the workforce. These systems allow individuals to experience life, countries to make those individual lives better collectively, and then the world to function, flourish, and with the help of this technological prowess, even defy gravity by sending human beings to the moon. The three synonymous social institutions, government, economy, and religion, let's call it the GER, G-E-R, are still big. However, they now have become subsystems of the globalized corporate media in a technology-driven digital social world. The speed of digital communication enables societies to operate, function, and communicate consistently and generally daily. Dependence on digital communication systems has changed the traditional methods of how humans translate, comprehend, and express messages and emotions. What I'm saying is harm reduction, abstinence only. The government, economy, and religion, the GER, hey, they're taking a back seat. It's the media now. That's where we can infiltrate a new system of beliefs on generations in the media, whether it's social media, television, radio, podcasts, whatever. Technology has allowed this instant ability that we can start planning new messages. But are those messages making the rich rich? There is one clear line in the sand concerning digital communication, social media platforms, and the progressing lifespan of our children. It is the line of early human development, and now is the time to implement initiative-taking preventive measures to ensure positive communication messages. Miller Day, 2013, sustains children's socialization, communication development, and overall health in the family environment, educational setting, and community is directly related to technology and media. And you can slash parents there. The individual's internal processing system has been affected by the amount of information consumed through social media platforms and applications. Nickerson, 2022. Let's discuss the technological media governing system, the computer internet-based network, and the role of digital communication devices influencing social institutions, and how those institutions negatively and positively develop adolescents, social ideals, and behaviors. Adolescents and emerging young adults are social users and are influenced by media-driven messages. Are these conditions promoting empathy, support, and unity interpersonally? Media's effect on society and how the individual may communicate inter and intrapersonally, intrapersonally is with oneself, goes back to Katz, 1959-1974, media uses and gratifications approach. Psychological, sociological, and environmental aspects, which have become a natural evolution of the functioning society, suggest that media consumption and interaction become a human desire and a need for fulfillment. Newbaum et al., 2014. The individual, especially the teenager, desires to be accepted and a part of a collective group. It goes back to me and goes back to my teenage years, sexuality and being sexually active, being a part of a collective group, and then my ideals about sex coming from adults. My mother and my family members, I looked at that collective group is the whole world. I thought I was the only one that was not having sex when I was supposed to. Same with using alcohol and drugs. So, unfortunately, the media supersedes social platforms for propaganda's sake, and the heroic and positive messages of inspiration are replaced with political agendas and economic motives. Media is not intentionally driving conflictual, negative, and stressful content to harm children's developing brains. It is not a Nazi fascist machine. Miller Day et al., 2013, and Soha and Yingling, 2014, find that research about how children communicate makes up only 10% of all communication research since the start of the 21st century. So strange. Adolescents' children's communication research is focused on education, television shows, and behavior. Considering that 94.6% of teen adolescents who use social media are already in the insane frame of mind, which is puberty, and already dealing with peer pressure stressors, Plazime et al., 2020, depression, anxiety, and negative media messages affect adolescents' emotions and how they manage their social media accounts, Eisenbach et al., 2018. The capacity by which people show empathy may affect our relationships with others, which are dominated by communication through social networks like Facebook. Experts have developed social impact in social media, the SISM, and the social impact coverage ratio, SICOR, which show the potential of reality of the impact on a user's or citizen's voice, especially on topics where both verbal and nonverbal communication of the message post content on society, Pulido, 2018. Facebook and Twitter questionnaires obtained adolescents' attitudes around empathy and narcissism. Regarding narcissism, there were positive correlations that social network platforms influenced younger users to be more selfish and y'all so vain, hence the terminology selfie. By no means is the like or love emoji advocating new heights of empathy for teenagers. Social plugins such as the like or love emoji make it very accommodating to show empathy, but it does not take mindfulness to click a button, or does it? What if a date, first it was if you show a love emoji, you get to go on the blind date, and then you got to make sure you bring your STD test for the date. That's how it should work. This communication resource connected to resilience, an action of interpersonal relationships and empathy, is a lost cause for those already prone to mental illness, anxiety outcomes like antisocial behaviors such as narcissism. Denying social platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for having positive effects on how our adolescents view the world is unfair. There were positive correlations that social network platforms influence younger users to communicate with greater compassion and to be actively empathetic. Erasti et al., 2017. Newbaum et al., 2014, specifically focused on the role of the social media during times of disaster, the ability of a multitude of users to communicate, gather information, and share collectively, quickly and efficiently, and see emotions promotes empathy toward victims of crisis, as Tefeki, 2017. Social media platforms promote instant connectivity, enabling diverse experiences, community engagement, and support groups. Look, I know a plethora of individuals, and this adolescents, teenagers, emerging adults, that will meet their significant other or their spouse-to-be on social media platforms. It's connected our world. It's wonderful. However, it has a big responsibility. It has a big responsibility in determining our new generation, Generation Alpha, the attitudes they're going to have towards what? Well, towards the same problems we face, the same problems I brought up in the beginning. Practicing safe sex, not using drugs and drinking. We got to make sure we're getting positive messages out there. We got to infiltrate the cat people. If you're a cat person, that's awesome. But you know, Facebook. And this is from Dr. Santo back in like 2018, 2019. We looked at with digital communication and platforms, but the cat people. Can you imagine if we were to gather all the cat people in the world to unite? That'd be a lot of people. There is power. There is freedom in social media platforms. There is. But we got to utilize them right. Let me get some condoms and some cigarettes. All right, so that's all I have for you today. Before I namago, I promise that Saturday is going to be an interview. It'll be me and Chris B. We're going to talk about his recovery journey. We're going to talk about his music, which is phenomenal. He's amazing musician. And we'll also talk about his experience as a peer support recovery specialist. As always, I want to thank you for namasteing, but namago, 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 namago. Now people let me put you wise. I still go. Side with other guys, here's a moral and a story from the guy who knows. I fell in love and my love still grows. Ask any fool like she ever knew that they are. Keep away from a runner, I'm too afraid of her. Yeah, keep away from this girl. I know not what you'll do. Keep away from Sue. Be like a travel around. Now people let me put you wise. She goes out with other guys in the morning and a